funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now. We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
You're listening to an Acquired Taste podcast, the podcast for people who always say yes to the bread basket. Always say yes to the bread basket. And if you're a restaurant that does not serve bread before the meal, I say no to you. I'm Bethany, and I say no to you.
I'm Sam, and I support this message.
You're a fake restaurant if you don't serve bread before the meal.
That's Kathleen.
There's a place in my neighborhood called Raza, and I can't even get that mad because the quality of food is so good, but it's $5 for their bread and butter appetizer.
That should be free. Gift with purchase.
Right? And it's delicious is the worst part. But why are you going to charge me $5 for bread and butter?
Complimentary.
You know what I really love? When the bread basket also comes with like spiced breadsticks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would go back there anytime.
Or the, like the little mini pizza square.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a little piece of focaccia.
And that salted butter better be a little warm.
Stop it.
So welcome to the autumn season. The season of my people.
She's and not kidding right now. I wish you saw Kitchen Studio NYC.
Oh, so excited.
I actually just posted a picture that we took in the autumnal kitchen studio. Perfect. If you want to check us out on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
So today we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about, I don't quite know, vegetarianism. Kathleen has some meat stories.
Yeah. Well, I want to invite you guys over for dinner.
Yes.
But I don't know what to cook.
I love that.
Because I do not speak vegetable.
Right. Sam and I are both vegetarians. So we're going to get into that a little bit today. But mostly, I think it's going to be a fun episode because we're all a little grumpy for various reasons. And those tend to be better episodes because we all just have a lot of feelings about a lot of things.
This is helping. I'm huffing one of the flowers Bethany purchased. She has a wonderful little array. And Thanks. Now this is going to be mine for the next hour.
You're huffing the peach rose.
It's so nice. It's soothing.
It's nice. It's pretty. I think huffing the peach rose should be some sort of drug use colloquialism.
Huffing the peach rose. They're opening for Death Cab for Cutie.
Or a drug, right?
Yeah, or a drug. Right, right. Before we get into the topic of meat, I read the worst book.
What was it?
Speaking of drugs, it is so bad. Hold on. I'm going to go grab it.
Oh, it's I hate that friend who's like, oh, this is disgusting. You have to taste it. Like, that's what Bethany's doing in book form right now.
Was it War and Peace?
No.
Was it Kafka?
Hunt for the Red October.
No, it's The Ready-Made Thief by Augustus Rose. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It should have been really good. And also, Augustus Rose is a great writer. It's just that I think what happened is that he had so many ideas that he wanted to fit into one book and it didn't work.
Oh, so he's an Acquired Taste podcast of books.
The conscious stream of thought.
It should be really good. It's about this teenage girl named Lee, and she gets kicked out of her house and goes and breaks out of jail at the very beginning of the book.
Wow.
And then it involves like cults, it involves art. It involves heists. It involves drugs and underground societies. And it should be like, it should be something that I love.
So it's like Spider-Man, the Broadway musical. They took every enemy of his and put it in a 2-hour musical.
Yeah.
Story.
That was the worst musical in the history of musicals.
There's just like, there's so much going on. And you can tell by reading it again that like, he's a great writer. I think he's a screenwriter. Mm. It just something, I really wanted to like it. And I think it would have been a really good book if they had pulled out a couple of things that they didn't need to have in there.
Okay. You need the cliff notes. Hey, have you guys seen the trailer for that movie? I think Keira Knightley is in it, where she writes the book, but her husband takes credit.
Yes.
I love those kinds of movies. Like what the movie Big Eyes, where she was the painter.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that kind
Colleen
of stuff.
Colleen Collette.
Colette. Yes, it's supposed to be amazing. I'm hoping that there's a little bit of an Oscar nominations in there.
I'll call Oscar.
It's on my list. Speaking of books, on our website, we have a list of our 6 books you need to read for September. I'm so excited we're starting to blog.
Which
on our
is
website.
Good because I need to read my 2 suggestions.
You haven't read them yet?
No, I just know they're really good. One was from William. I trust what he tells me to read.
Yeah.
And the other one is a subtle art of not giving a f-.
I knew that was yours.
Mm-hmm. That was
when
mine.
I saw the list. I'm like, that's Sam. Mm-hmm.
You know, it speaks to me. So first, I think we should get into thanking our first sponsor for this episode.
You guys, look over there on the other side of my apartment. Do you see my bedroom?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you see that thing in the corner?
I do.
That thing in the spotlight?
Yes.
Losing its religion?
I spy the maxi climber.
That's my maxi climber. And the reason it's in the corner is because it can fold up and fit in a corner, which is why I love it.
With the maxi climber, you get a full body workout, a vertical climber machine that combines calorie burning and cardio and muscle toning. It's all in one simple step. And anyone can use the maxi climber. It's great for adults and kids. And kittens, if you have a really tall kitten.
Show me the video of your kitten using it if you can make that happen.
You'll love the Maxi Climber, but if you don't for some reason, you're covered within 30 days for a money back guarantee. One of the best parts that I love about our Maxi Climbers is that it comes with an app on Apple and Android. It's like having your own personal trainer right in your house.
Yay, accountability.
Yeah, I normally...
Go ahead.
No,
What's normally?
No, I was going to make a horrible joke about like someone breaking into my apartment and training me, which isn't even funny. Cut it out.
I may or may not. All right. So the Maxi Climber is offering our listeners an exclusive web bundle right now. You can go to maxiclimber.com/taste for 15% off your Maxi Climber purchase and a 3-piece bonus gift valued over $50, plus free shipping and handling, which is awesome because I hate when I have to pay people to handle me. Again, that's maxiclimber.com/taste to get this special deal, including 15% off your purchase, bonus accessories, and free shipping and handling. That's maxiclimber.com.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about Meatless Mondays.
Because
you're both vegetarians, and I just have a few questions.
Yeah, so Meatless Monday is our everyday. But yes. This is sort of a movement where people don't eat meat on Mondays.
Yeah, so have you seen in the news the city of Berkeley in California, their town council, or city council rather, they are banning meat in the city of Berkeley on Mondays. It's part of their Green Mondays initiative, and they haven't said when it's going to start, but all restaurants and any place that serves food on Mondays in Berkeley, California is only going to be allowed to serve vegan foods, not even just vegetarian foods.
So this is for the earth, right? Because like the raising of cattle for meat, that's a lot of methane in the air, ozone problems.
See, this is probably the least known part of the industry. A lot of people who don't know much about it, which is most, like, you really have to do your own research because no one's going to tell you. That's how the industry works. But it's not a I can eat what I want kind of thing. You can. Yes, you can. Yeah. You absolutely can. Sure. It's not about that. It's supposed to be about the math and science of all the terrible things that happen to the environment, pollution-wise, and all that good stuff from the industry itself. So I think this was a... they were more trying to help the process than the end result. Does that make sense? But people might be mad at the end result.
Oh, so they're trying to raise awareness of like the actual dirtiness of the meat industry?
Is what I would assume slash hope rather than saying you don't get a burger today.
Well, keep in mind, Berkeley is a really liberal city.
Yes, they're very forward thinking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so I can see most people, if I'm going to stereotype, like in Berkeley, probably being okay with it.
Right.
But it makes sense that the headline is going to have people talking about that for sure.
I don't, you know, I'm not a vegan. I do enjoy vegan foods. I like vegetarian recipes, but I'm not sure how I would feel if my hometown was like, okay, by the way, on Mondays when you order takeout from Seamless, you can't order anything that has meat in it.
Is it because you want the meat or because you don't like being told what you can do?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But also if you have children, sometimes it's hard to feed kids. If you need to go to a restaurant and they want chicken nuggets and they're like, oh, you can have tofu nuggets. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, can confirm tofu nuggets are not quite the same.
Yo, we're going to Chicken or the Egg next time it warms up and we are going to get the best vegan nuggets in the entire universe. They're so good.
So I think probably for people who eat meat, chicken, mom most nights is a go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Or beef for some people. I don't think it's as popular as chicken probably. Mm-hmm. What is your go-to? You guys are both vegetarians. Like when you come home and you're like, okay, I'm just going to make something quick. Like what do you make?
There's just
that's
so
a
much.
Really good question.
I keep like most grocery stores have like this seitan stuff, which is tasty, and they have like flavored things.
Yeah.
There are a lot of grocery stores that have substitutes, or there's nothing wrong with like coming up with a vegetable dish that has a rice or a starch in it. The veggies take care of it. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a pescatarian. I have to draw that line because pure vegetarians often get very mad when they find out 20 minutes into the conversation that I eat fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier to tell people I'm a vegetarian. But I don't buy fish. Mm-hmm. So I shop for my apartment vegetarian. And then if I'm out, I'll let myself order if I want. That's how that works. It's really easy. Just don't take us to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eating's pretty easy for us.
But yeah. Like, what do you make? Tell me.
Okay. So food does not make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so.
You need it written out for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Like I really do. Like I need someone to tell me what to eat and how to eat it. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm just home by my, like on my own terms, a lot of times it's like, if you look in my freezer, I have a lot of prepared meals that either I've made ahead of time
yeah.
or that are like Trader Joe's has a lot of, vegetarian Indian
yes.
meals, right? Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of that.
Gotcha.
I do a lot of like vegetarian burritos that are like bean based
mm-hmm.
or I eat a lot of yogurt.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do like peanut butter and jelly yogurt. Sometimes if I get home and I'm really hungry and I haven't had time to make anything, I have Greek yogurt that's just plain. I put a tablespoon of peanut butter in there, a tablespoon of jelly. Mm. I mix it all around and it is delicious.
That sounds really
and
good.
Yeah. And it's a ton of protein because it's Greek yogurt and it's got, you know, some fat in there and it's got some sugar in there. And mm-hmm. that's like my jam.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. So what works for me is I always need to have a base prepared and ready. So I always have like a couple large containers in my fridge of just white rice mm-hmm. or pasta without anything going on. Because if I'm feeling really lazy, I could just crack open one of my array of sauces and pour that over. Or if I'm going to take care of myself, which, you know, I need to get a little bit better at, I always have fresh veggies too. Like I like to get those little peppers you can snack on.
Snack peppers, so good. Mm-hmm. Snack peppers, mm-hmm. dip them in everything.
Right?
Dip them in ranch.
But you can also cut them up and put a little olive oil in a pan and put the snack peppers in there and maybe a little bit of peas and broccoli or something and saute that up with the sauce. And then I have a meal with protein and veggies too. And I just put that over the rice that I made over the weekend or
yeah.
the pasta. It's really easy. What's annoying, at least in the beginning, is you've got to get used to working with spices if you get bored easily.
Yes.
Some people don't. I do. So I'm pretty good with like different spices and things because it can make almost really similar dishes taste pretty different.
See, that's the thing that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
It's weird, so right?
Funny. Spices, they don't make sense to me. Okay. I don't have a great palate.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine what things taste like. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, some people are really good at thinking like, oh, this fruit will go really well with this spice. Like I can tell that they're gonna, like if I put them both in a something or other, they'll complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense to me. So Kathleen, if you go into my, take your headphones
okay.
off, go into my cupboard right now okay. on the right.
This one?
Yep. Okay. The top, the bottom shelf, the very bottom. Yeah, so many spices.
Oh, white cheddar.
White cheddar spice.
Pop that popcorn.
Italian.
Yeah.
More Italian.
How full are all of them?
Paprika.
Never, ever, ever. I have an entire bottom shelf filled with spices. I've never touched them.
Wait, question. Did you get like a value pack on Amazon?
No,
or
these
you
are,
just pass them and you're like, ooh.
These are from my ex.
Because oh, okay.
he loved to cook. And so when we broke up, I just took all the spices because he didn't.
That was
and
your spite move that, was yeah, the I was spices.
Like, the oregano's mine. And I don't know how to use them and I don't know what to do with them.
I can give you really easy things. And it's not even because I'm so good I could give you easy things. Literally, you can Google like cooking with rosemary and then you could go on a website that has something really simple and put that in there. Like I made William, I'll cook meat still because William's working and, you know, I'll make dinner for him. I'll make rosemary chicken. It's
so
super easy.
Interesting to me that you still cook meat.
Yeah.
Even though you're a vegetarian. Like, Bethany, do you cook meat?
No. Well, there's no one here.
Yeah.
It's the Watson Cloisters. No one
Loki's
lives here. But
like, excuse me, miss.
It's but just me and the kittens.
If the kittens were like, hey, Bethany, we want a steak. Would you cook them a T-bone?
No.
Okay.
A lot of people have problems with that.
Yeah,
I get it.
For me, the vegetarianism is mostly an animal rights thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to buy it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to look like I won't give you a hard time
yeah.
if I'm at your house and you're cooking it or if we're mm-hmm. out and you order meatballs. I'm not going to lecture you because I'm not that person.
Yeah.
But I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to touch it. I don't like it.
I get it. Well, can I actually defend my, or explain rather, I don't like that I use the word defend. Can I explain my why I cook meat? Because I know people
yeah.
and I know a lot of vegetarians mm-hmm. and I know that just hearing that I do cook it
bothers them.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I understand that.
So I do cook it because I don't want my choice to inconvenience other people. So where I'm not making the difference, I will help someone else out. So
what do you mean where you're not making the difference?
So if William's going to come home from a long day at work and he is going to cook chicken, but he's going to be exhausted and he already is and he's starving, I will do that for him because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just 20 minutes. And yes, the touching is disgusting, but I get over it because of that. Or when I come home for holidays, I help my mom cook for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to be eating it, but I'll do it for that. I won't touch veal I can't do that. Start crying. I won't touch duck for the same reason, and I won't touch lamb for the same reason. I'll start breaking out into sobs, and we're not gonna get into it because it won't be fun for anyone involved.
Those are my favorite things to eat, guys.
I know. I grew up on it too, so I relate to the taste and the I get it, but you can't unlearn some things. Yeah. And I'll leave that there because I don't.
That's fair.
That's all. It's gotten to the point now where if my mom gives me enough heat at the dinner table, I'll say, really, do you want to learn something? Mm-hmm. And she'll plug up her ears and start singing because she just knows it's so bad that she doesn't want to know.
Yeah, it'll ruin everything.
That's where my life is. But yeah, I help with the Thanksgiving and I help William with his dinners and that kind of stuff.
Now, when you guys go to family holidays, do people make extra dishes for you because they know that you're a vegetarian and you're coming?
Yeah.
Do they get annoyed at you?
No, because my mom loves me.
Yeah.
No, I lucked out because I have three vegans in my family.
Oh,
wait, what?
I have three vegans. I have a cousin who had to become a vegan for all of a sudden within the course of 6 months, he just looked like he was third trimester pregnant. Like something was going on in his stomach and in his gut. And thankfully, being vegan totally wiped it out.
Whoa.
But for the sake of being easier in solidarity, his wife also became vegan. And with seldom exceptions, their son is vegan too.
Huh.
So that's helpful. So it's fun because at holidays when I know they're coming, everyone has to cater to them. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I just also get to eat their foods.
So I have this list and I'm wondering if you guys eat all of these vegetables because they're the ones with the highest amount of protein in them.
Okay.
Because that's always a huge issue for vegetarians. Where are you getting enough protein? Because you can't just eat cheese all the time.
That's true. Yeah. You can.
Oh, and coffee.
Eat cheese all the
cheese
time.
Cheese and coffee.
One of them always wins and you always lose. First, I think we should get into thanking our second sponsor. We want to thank a new partner, and that is Lola, a modern approach to feminine care. So Lola is a female-founded company, and they have a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, natural cleansing wipes, basically the essentials that not a lot of people talk about but are super important. And it was based off a seemingly obvious idea, which is women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products. So basically, if we care about the ingredients in the food we eat and the beauty products we use, why shouldn't we care about the products we are using, you know, in our body in such a feminine, delicate way?
Yeah.
The scary thing to me is that I didn't know this. The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of their ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. And the other scary thing is that major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester, and they also may treat their feminine care products with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, and dyes. So Lola's subscription is fully customizable. You can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, your frequency of delivery, and their subscription is super flexible. So you can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough to get samples of Lola when they decided to partner up with us. And I really thought that I was never going to leave my original tampon brand that I loved for years.
Yeah.
I love Lola.
Yay.
Like, it was really teeny tiny and it felt, and this is weird, can I say this in the commercial? It felt okay during the application process.
That's good.
Yes. And I was really worried about that, but it was smooth sailing, guys.
Good. So muzzle tov.
So for 40% off of your Lola subscription, visit mylola.com and enter code TASTE when you subscribe. Again, that's 40% off of your Lola subscription. Visit mylola.com and enter TASTE when you subscribe.
All right, Kathleen, so let's get back to your, because the only fact I know about vegetables and protein that's a very specific one is there's more protein per pound of broccoli than there is per pound of chicken. So you're about to educate me in all the other kinds of protein vegetables, because I usually just, I eat. I don't math.
Yeah, I don't eat or math either. I don't math.
Okay, hang on one second. Sorry, I lost my website.
Sorry for cutting you off, but again, I was worried about
vegetables, highest protein. Okay, so I was doing a little bit of research when I proposed this topic to you guys, because even though I'm not a vegetarian, I'm really interested in what it's like to live life as a vegetarian.
And people should know what vegetables have what value in
it. Yes, so these are the veggies with the highest amount of protein. Watercress, all right? Start eating your watercress.
Refreshing.
Alfalfa sprouts.
Nope.
Eat your alfalfa sprouts.
You don't like alfalfa sprouts?
No, sprouts, no.
They're so delightful in a sandwich.
Nope.
I like sprouts. You can't eat sprouts when you're pregnant.
You can't really clean them very well. You're eating dirt.
That's the issue.
Why can't you eat sprouts when you're pregnant?
Because they carry things.
They can't really be cleaned,
is
what I've heard, the way that other vegetables can be really washed. And so you're not sure what you're really eating. You might be eating a lot of dirt and poo hands.
I mean, I ate a pretzel off a malt floor once, so I'll keep eating my sprouts.
And because they're very moist, I think they're more susceptible to growing things when they're inside of your fridge. All right, moving on.
Poo hands and moisture.
Spinach, that is not that's not a surprise for anybody. And this one, I don't think a lot of people eat quite often as they should. Chinese cabbage, or you might have seen it in the grocery stores, bok choy.
Bok choy.
It's delicious. It's whatever seasoning or sauce you put it in, it just sort of adapts to the dish. It's delicious. Mm. Asparagus.
Love it.
Mustard greens.
Mm.
Broccoli. And Sam told me a fun fact about broccoli before.
I also said it on the podcast.
Oh, you did before?
I did.
Oh, shoot. Never mind.
What were you thinking about at that time, Kathleen?
I'm not what Sam was saying.
what do you
not paying attention to what you guys are saying.
I looked
on
Kathleen
this podcast
dead in the eye when I said it too.
I have no recollection.
So entertained.
Did you guys know, though, that Lola Feminine products are 100% organic?
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
I don't know if we talked about this yet.
Are they as organic as the collard greens that you should be eating?
How much protein is in a Lola tampon?
Brussels sprouts, and last but not least, cauliflower.
Love it.
Love a cauliflower.
So fun, easy way to do almost any vegetable. Is you preheat your oven. I usually do it at about 400 degrees. You put it on a tray with a little bit of olive oil drizzle, and I like to use like the thick, hearty salt rocks.
The pink Himalayan salt.
Yeah, pink Himalayan, or where you have to grind it out. Like, not fine salt, but like crunchy salt.
I've tuned out. I'm so bored.
You have.
No, you're not. Stop it. We're talking about your people.
I know, but cooking
Bethany
is not my jam.
Bethany doesn't cook unless it's a specific instructional thing.
Yeah, if I'm in it, doing it, I'm great, but like talking about it, I'm bored.
I'm going to cook for you, Bethany.
Tell me, make it exciting. Tell me how to cook and make it so exciting.
Okay, so broccoli. This is my famous soy sauce and red pepper broccoli.
Hit me with it.
Yes, so you chop the broccoli. Yeah, you get it into medium-sized pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you this is your recipe.
No,
why am
Sam
I
is
going
to help me out on
okay,
this.
She's Sam, help her out.
Yeah. So then what do we do? We can add the oil. Sam, add the oil.
Yeah, a little bit of oil in the pan. Make sure it simmers.
No, not like
make
that.
That's how I sound it.
Making drizzle, exciting.
You drizzle the oil and then you rub it in with the tips of your fingers a little bit. Yep, that's in a bowl. That's in a clean bowl. Okay. And then you're gonna put just a little dollop of oil in the pan and heat that up until it's glistening. You watch that oil glisten.
You know what the best part of heating up oil is?
What?
When you have to test if it's hot enough.
Oh.
You put water on your hands and then you shoot out your fingers toward the pan and like emeralds. You go, pah! And if it's, that's how you know it's ready to cook.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
I literally thought you just put your finger in it and if it hurt,
if
that was ready.
If you put your entire face in the pan and your face burns, then it's ready.
No, you're like the modern day Sylvia Plath. Keep your head out of the oven, please. Thank you.
You know, my sister told me I'm not allowed to read Sylvia Plath in the winter because I get too sad.
Oh, seasonal depression is a real thing.
No Plath in the winter, she said. And I said, okay.
It's like when Pam was pregnant, she can't watch the commercial about the dog bone insurance. He just wants a place to put his bone.
Okay, Kathleen, keep telling me about your recipe.
You're going to put your garlic in your garlic press and you're going to press that garlic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to squirt out. You're going to watch that garlic squirt out of your garlic
Sam's
press.
Face.
And you're going to take a little knife and scrape it into
pineapples.
Your...
Pineapples, I feel unsafe.
Your safe word?
I'm unsafe now.
You're going to scrape it into your glistening oil, and you're just going to let that get nice and golden. You're going to dump in your broccoli. Dump in your broccoli. And then you hit it with some soy sauce, and you hit it with some red pepper flakes, and you toss, and then you've got a meal.
That's actually, see, that sounds really good.
See, I was so entertained with her delivery that I remember zero of the ingredients. So that was an interesting plot twist.
There's only four ingredients.
I wouldn't know. It was garlic. It
was olive oil, broccoli, red pepper flakes.
See, that is perfect. It worked for Bethany, who needed the theater, and I'm the boring person who just wants to get in and out of the kitchen. So I just need to know what I'm working with.
Yeah, and if you really wanted to make it a full thing, put in some quinoa, and then you have a perfect protein.
Whoa.
And then you have a full meal.
Can I tell you my favorite cooking life hack for when you're doing something with oil in a pan?
Yes. Yeah.
So you know how it just like spats out, and there's always a 50% chance you're going to get burned with oil. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I saw on the internet, and I'm proud to say I tried it and it works. You take a 1 liter soda bottle that's empty and you cut it in half, and then you take your little spatula and you put it up the spout of the soda thing, and then you hold it so you're kind of like a glorified Captain Hook with a spatula hand, and then you can move it around without getting oiled on.
No, I mean, but how do you do it? The oil spatters, they burn.
Yeah, just use that.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know you have a really good grandma who makes really delicious meals, when her arm is just scarred all the way up to her elbow in oil splatters.
You're getting skinny. What did you eat this week?
Grandma, your scars are fading. You have to feed me.
Okay, so Kathleen, you are the only one of the three of us who like throw a dinner party.
Yes.
Have you ever had somebody who was, have you ever had to just like be so specific about the things you made? Like,
I made a menu. I want to have a dinner party and I want to have you guys over my house. So this is the 5-course meal that I'm planning on serving you
five
guys.
5 courses?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, la-di-da. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're starting off with my famous white bean and pesto jello mold. Yeah, it's delicious.
Wait a minute. Gelatin is
yes.
Is not,
there's no not, animal products.
Yes,
oh,
there
it's
is.
A vegan gelatin, because gelatin in itself is not vegetarian.
Has what? Horse hooves
what?
In it.
What?
It's bones.
So what did you
there's bones if, in the chocolate.
If you guys go to the hospital and get your tonsils taken out, what do you eat?
That's a myth. They don't give you enough Jell-O. Sorry.
Okay.
Triggered.
Okay. Erase. That was a joke, guys. And that's actually a very foul-sounding dish. Wipe. Oh, who's there?
Who's here now?
Whoever could it be?
Hello. It's Henry the Horse here to tell you about Jell-O.
Jell-O? You make it from my hooves.
Poor Bethany. All right.
Wow. Somebody's impatient down there.
Can we answer that?
Yeah. Welcome back, Bethany. Nice of you to join us.
Thanks.
Okay. You're out of breath because that's a couple
you
floors up.
You didn't need to sprint. You know, once we pause it, it's okay.
No, but they, because I don't have an intercom, they don't know to not walk away. They don't know that someone's home.
Mm.
So I have to run down the stairs as fast as possible before they decide that no one's home. Because the last time they decided no one was home, they left my package in the middle of the sidewalk and someone stole it.
What a crappy game.
They're the worst.
Ugh. All right. This is what I'm making for you. A citrus salad.
Citrus salad.
2, arugula salad.
Hate arugula. Oh, won't eat it. Won't
touch
it.
I love arugula.
Nope. It's like eating dirty socks.
3, squash salad with other squash mixed in.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Love a squash.
So just still squash salad.
4, endive cups with chopped salad inside of them.
All right. So far, salad is a really big theme.
All right.
It's on D.
5, eggs. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to serve you guys when you come over. Salad,
eggs. That's a very Gaston kind of dish.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm serving
eggs
you.
To help me get large.
Bring your appetites.
All right.
Salad,
can we just do, why don't we just do a potluck where we each bring something? Bethany, you are welcome to bring a tray of your burritos. That's fine.
And cheese and yogurt.
Oh my God, yes.
Cheese and yogurt.
You're invited twice.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
What did one vegetarian say to the other?
What? Here we go. Come on, Dad.
We have to stop meeting like this.
Yep.
Yep. What did the lettuce say to the celery?
What?
Are you stalking me?
Oh,
all right, one more. What does a vegan zombie eat?
Grains.
But
I actually had to think about that one.
I won't tell you any vegan jokes though, because they might be cheesy.
Oh, good. goodness
this,
gracious.
So this was Kathleen's topic idea. This is more preparation that you have put into this topic than I have ever seen you bring. She has sheaves and sheaves of paper.
We have to start any topic we come up with now. We have to like fiddle her on the roof it and try and convince Kathleen that it was her idea. So this is every time.
How much more paper? Look at you, just stacks and stacks of paper.
Well, then we, in our chat before the podcast today, we said, oh, maybe we'll talk about who we would bring to a fancy dinner party.
Yeah, which I think we should talk about.
Alive or dead. And then I did research on the person I would bring. But I've been talking a lot. Those jokes were very bad. So somebody else tell me who you're going to bring.
Kathleen is putting herself in a 5-minute timeout. I deserve this.
I went to a craft store this morning.
No kidding.
And I bought some seasonal decor, mostly flowers. Mm-hmm. And they already have the Christmas stuff out. And can I just tell you, this is my happy time. Mm-hmm. And this is the time when things get cozy. Mm-hmm. Things get exciting because you have a lot to look forward to. And I know that there are a lot of people who don't like this time of the year, but guess what? I put up with your summer.
That's true.
You do not.
You complain every time. You refuse to go outside.
But I yell at people for yelling at me for loving fall. Those are the people who are just like, oh, why is it done with summer? You're the worst for liking fall. And that's when I run over your car with my car.
I will never call you the worst for liking fall, but I am going to bring to your attention that you let everyone know how much you hate each summer day.
I hate it because here's the thing. You get one season to bitch about, but you don't get two. So if you bitch about summer, you don't get to bitch about winter. I never bitch about winter.
That's fair.
And you will never hear me bitch about winter.
That's
because winter.
That's totally false. I've heard you.
When
bitch about
winter?
No, maybe not.
Winter. Never.
Okay. Winter.
Never on even the coldest of days, you'll never hear me bitch about winter.
Well, can you help me out with one of my biggest seasonal gripes? And Kathleen, I know you're also more comfortable in autumn, so this you might have some good advice for me too. Mm-hmm. I don't successfully prepare for the day because what drives me cuckoo about autumn is when I'm walking down the street on a nice day, I love it. It's chill. I love the sun on my face. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm so comfortable. And then you make a left down a block and it's dark and there's a chill and it drops by 15 degrees feeling.
I wonder if this is a phenomenon that only people in cities experience. But
maybe.
Yeah, you need to like bring layers that you can tie around your waist and put in your tote bag.
I'm never ready. I'm like Sybil. I've got like 4 different personalities. Everyone has to stop until my temperature is comfortable.
One of those personalities is like always cold.
Yeah. Or when you get up in the morning and you get dressed, it's like 55 degrees. Mm-hmm. Then you go get a lunch outside and it's 75 in the middle of the day. And by the time you go home again, it's like back to 42.
I just never feel prepared for a full 24-hour cycle.
Mm-hmm. It's just all about the layers. It's all about the layers.
I need to shop. I hate saying that.
Yeah, no, it's a really exciting time of the year. Lots of things are dying, which is always fun.
All right.
The leaves are falling off the trees. Mm-hmm. Over for them. Lots of bugs are dying. It's done for them.
I'm okay with that part.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Birds are flying south for the winter. Will they make it? Maybe.
But the mice come in because they want to keep warm.
They do. And now you have new pets.
I'm okay with the mice part.
Yep. And they make dresses for you. There was a documentary I saw once called Cinderella. And it was about this woman who these mice and birds made her clothes.
They had such lovely singing voices.
That's incredible. Gus, 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 gus,
gus, gus, gus, gus. I don't know what else to talk about.
I don't either. Oh. Do you guys want to tell me who you want to bring over for dinner? If you could have dinner with someone and you can prepare it any which way. Mm-hmm. We're not bringing up that topic again.
Yes, I do. I do.
Who do you have?
Okay, Kathleen pulls that. Hold on. Let Kathleen pull out her scroll.
This is my research paper about, drumroll, Benjamin Franklin. Guys, he's really fascinating. And you know how I know that?
How?
I went to factslides.com.
Factslides.com. Oh, factslides.com.
Yes. Do you know that he only had 2 years of formal education?
Yes.
I did not.
Yeah. And
know that.
In 1785, he was the richest person in the United States.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know when he died, he left $600 to the state, to the cities of Boston and Philadelphia, but they couldn't access the money for X amount of years. And by the time that they could access the money in the 1990s, it was like $6.5 million each.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I'll be patient.
Whoa.
I will be patient.
Yes. And Benjamin Franklin wrote Fart Proudly, a scientific essay about farts.
I did know that.
Isn't that cool?
And he had syphilis.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did it get to his brain?
I don't know. I never asked.
You gave it to him? Are you the one who gave it to him?
Well, it's not been proven, but trust me, it's possible.
Here's the reason why I really want Benjamin Franklin to come over and have dinner at my house.
Okay. Why?
Even though he's from ye olden time, mm-hmm. I think he'd be really good at the Instagram game. Like,
what's the Instagram game?
Like, he would have so many followers. He would be a top influencer. He would be probably numero uno.
Well, yeah, he's a Renaissance man.
Yeah. He invented the harmonica.
If Benjamin Franklin,
he was well traveled,
were to partner up with a client to do sponsored Instagram posts, who do you think he would partner with?
Let's see.
Warby Parker.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
He'd be like, I invented Warby Parker before they're even Warby Parker.
He'd be like the original Elton John of glasses.
That'd be really good. I can totally see that.
He would definitely partner up with some sort of musical company, like a teach your own, teach yourself how to play instruments.
Or like a craft brewery. Because he loved beer.
Or an app for a locksmith so you can use the throwaway key to tie on a kite.
Wait, I have another fun fact. Where's my notes?
It's time for Benjamin Franklin Fun Fact Corner.
Wait, hang on.
Is it about his one wife and his many mistresses in France?
Yeah, he was a French fashion icon, but I dropped the paper.
That's why I got to sleep with all those ladies. One of my favorite lines of The Office is when Michael Scott meets a Ben Franklin impersonator and he says something a little off color and Michael Scott goes, wow, Ben Franklin, you're kind of a skis bag.
All those illegitimate children don't make themselves. In 1776, Continental Congress sent Franklin to France. Okay, so he was a military aide for the Revolution, and he was 70 years old at the time, and he was renowned for his lighting experiments. But really, his fame soared to new heights when he arrived in Paris, because Franklin capitalized on the French conception of Americans as rustic frontiersmen, and he dressed very plainly, and all he wore was a fur hat, and it soon became his trademark.
That's it?
He dressed very
plainly. Donald ducked it with a fur hat.
He did. Hat in the heart of the ocean.
I wonder if Benny Franklin had a big one. He had a big eggplant.
And Warby Parker glasses.
And women liked to intimidate him with oversized wigs, and they called it Coiffeur La Franklin.
I'm going to start trying to do that. I'm going to start bringing oversized wigs to intimidate people at work.
I'm just going to start wearing fur hats and nothing else.
I think that's called the 70s.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Bless you, Ben Franklin. Mostly because no two very educated people seem to have the exact same opinion on you.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, people think, oh, he's a genius. Some people think, oh no, he was a thief. Some people, there's so many different things. He is very interesting.
Our forefathers, our founding fathers, lots of stuff happened.
8 voyages across the Atlantic, guys.
Allegedly.
You can quote me on that. Lots of stuff happened.
Founding fathers.
Lots of stuff happened.
Does anyone remember the Even Stevens episode where Ren sang that song because she didn't do her homework report on Man Landing on the Moon? Because that is Bethany right now. We went to the moon in 1969, not 1968, but a year later. That's all she had. That was the whole song. That's what you just did.
Yeah, it's like when you see those memes and it's a math problem. It's like, the man had 6 pieces of candy, and then there were 4 pieces of candy, and then there were 7 pieces of candy. Instead of doing the math, the kid just writes, and he also had diabetes.
I think I know that meme.
Yeah.
It's okay. I challenge you to a duel.
I don't see notes about who you guys would bring to dinner, and I'm very disappointed.
No, it's just because I put a stupid amount of thought in this already.
I don't need notes. Okay. I just need the sound cue. Please hold.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Hold on.
Damn it. I was hoping that would work.
Hold on. Hold on. Please hold.
Holding.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hey, you wanna play?
No, I don't.
Look at this place. What happened to you?
Mommy, I'm scared of the witch.
I was petrified.
I don't trust this place.
Ring around the road.
There's something in this forest.
What? Show us yourself.
I'm frozen right now.
Was that you? It just disappeared.
I don't like this.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures.
Dude,
I'm not editing that.
You have to.
I'm not listening back to that.
I would have dinner with Zach Baggins from Ghost Adventures because, first of all, he unfollowed me on Twitter, and I would like to confront him on why he decided to unfollow me on Twitter.
What the hell?
What did I ever do to him?
You know what I like about this, though?
What?
His career makes it so that in the distant future, when you do pass on, you can have this conversation with him no matter what.
For sure.
You could go haunt him.
Yeah, I'm going to.
He has the tools.
He has the technology.
We have the technology.
So here's the thing about Zach Baggins. He's a giant, giant tool bag, and he's gotten worse.
Not
as
the
time
way to get him
on
to follow you back on Twitter.
Well, and here's the, I've always been like real nice about Zach Baggins on Twitter. And if you, gentle follower, have figured out why he unfollowed me on Twitter, let me know. Yes,
question.
Sam.
Did you notice, did he have a large drop in people he followed? Were you...
Oh, I didn't pay attention.
Okay. I was wondering if you, like, that happens a lot where you're on like the unfair end of a full cleanse.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Possible.
Because it really hurt my feelings because I really did love the show.
Yeah.
And now I love the show, but for different reasons. I love the show because it makes me lol, but it used to like, I used to like really be into it and like, I was like creeped out by it. And now I just think that he's gotten crazy and he is mean. I've heard some mean things about him, and he's also just like,
but you want to invite him over for dinner?
But I want to invite him over for
dinner. Mostly to be like, what the f***?
I'm like, what happened to you, bro? What happened to you?
Is this a dinner party or an intervention?
It's mostly an intervention. I think it's mostly an intervention.
I wonder what he eats.
He probably eats a lot of meat.
She's just going to prepare arugula, but spitefully.
He's so jacked up. He probably eats a ton of meat. I am obsessed with him. But I want to confront him on unfollow. I'm mostly just hurt that he unfollowed me on Twitter.
Valid. Dear Zach Baggins.
Baggins.
You are formally invited to Bethany Watson's house to eat Trader Joe's vegetarian lasagna.
You'll like it too. Yeah, I would. I also would just like really, I'm curious what he's like as a normal person when the cameras are off.
Yeah.
Like if he's really sensitive or if he's really worried about his health because he has to wear masks now because his lungs are apparently real bad.
Oh dear.
Like,
from breathing in all the ghosts?
Yeah, from breathing in all like the asbestos from all
no,
these
it's the ghosts. It's breathing in the ghosts.
Also, have you guys seen his quote unquote documentary Demon House?
No. And you can answer that question.
About that time he bought a demon house?
No.
So apparently, according to the movie, the demon in the demon house made his eyes go weird and now he has to wear these special glasses for the rest of his life because otherwise it's surgery that could make him go blind.
Wow.
Did I read that he tried to buy the Brady Bunch house?
It's possible.
Yeah, I think he was like one of the contenders and lost out to HGTV.
Yeah, he bought the he bought this demon house sight unseen because he again heard it was a demon house, and the documentary quote unquote is actually pretty entertaining, but it's also really entertaining to like then go and read why it's not necessarily true.
Okay.
But it's really entertaining. So anyway, that's who I would have. I would want Zach Baggins.
I get it.
I'm just real fascinated
and
with
I validate
them.
Your feelings being hurt because you were an active as well as emotional supporter. Like you talk about it a lot. So you were doing, your foot was in every positive camp.
I was really, and I actually, the reason I found out he unfollowed me was because I went to his page to make sure he still followed me because I loved him so much. And then I found
it's
out
like
that he
unfollowed
checking
me. Checking on your child in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know
and
how
I,
you get his
and
attention?
And I found out the child had unfollowed me.
Oh, no. He went to college. This is how you get his attention.
Topless photo shoot.
You a couple of times a day for the next couple of days, you follow him and unfollow him, and then you follow him and then unfollow him and then follow
Kathleen
him and then
would
unfollow
know.
Him.
She's used this method to drive someone crazy once before.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's a band that does this to me.
What?
They follow and unfollow me constantly.
See, they get your attention though.
And I finally followed them back and I got so much spam. Every single member of their band DM'd me and was like, follow me too.
When make did you block them?
I haven't blocked them yet.
Well,
I need to block
then.
Them.
Are they a good band?
I haven't listened to them.
You should listen to them.
No, she's triggered.
Yeah, they might be worth following. Sam, who are you going to invite to your dinner party?
Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Paul McCartney.
Why?
So many different reasons that it's kind of hard to gather them because I am more emotionally passionate about his works than I realized I was. And that's because for my 21st birthday, I asked my mom to take me to see his concert and we did. And at that point, I was much more emotionally plugged than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was a frigid.
Oh,
I could
yeah.
count how many times a year I would cry.
Yeah.
Like everything would turn into angry. It's fine. So I happened to be walking into the stadium with my mom and the security guard pointed to a black car with black windows pulling into the stadium. And the guy said, that's him. And I saw a hand come out of the window and wave at everyone screaming. You guys, I fell to my knees.
No, you didn't.
And started crying.
No, you didn't.
Without warning. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know I was going to be that upset. But I saw like the most glorious five-fingered hand in my life. And I just started bawling. I was so emotional from seeing it. And then he came in again to the offices and he was performing downstairs in the theater and no one told me. And I found out the next day and I started crying again.
Okay. Would you have wanted to see him or no? Or would you have lost your mind?
I definitely would have wanted to see him, but I definitely would have lost my mind.
Do you know what he might say if you formally reached out and invited him to dinner?
Leave me alone, you creep.
Fuh you.
Yeah, it's possible.
I get it. That's his new single. Fuh you.
They're so cute.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's it's a good song.
Three songs on his new EP.
I'm not
cute.
Really plugged into the pop culture
That's
anymore.
Fine. Bless you for calling him pop culture. But no, that and last summer, William got into a minor, it was a fender bender, but he got into a car accident the day of McCartney's concert. So I didn't buy myself tickets. And then I got a little drunk later on that night. Of course, I didn't go. And I'm sitting at the bar. I start crying. And William's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I didn't go see McCartney because you had a stupid car accident.
I've been to a Paul McCartney concert. It's an interesting group of people. Interesting mix.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's kind of like a paella.
It was a good time. I sat very high up because I didn't want to spend my money on those orchestra seats.
Yeah, he is merciless with those prices. Woo. But there's an old man, sorry Paul, but who doesn't need to stop for anything.
Yeah.
Like he goes the whole way through. He had a bottle of water, no opener, because when you're Paul McCartney, who the hell is going to open for you?
Right.
So I just want to sit with him. I have so many questions about the Beatles. Wait. I want to be like, is John really a peace lover or was he just so much of a dick that whatever everyone wanted, he wanted the opposite?
Wait, did you guys hear that weird story that just came out about the Beatles that Paul McCartney said in an interview when he was promoting this?
Yeah, no. So Paul McCartney and John had a masturbation session together.
The song Come Together is literally about them sitting around in a circle coming together, so masturbating.
Wait, over who?
No. See, what I read was he said it happened. He never said where was your source for that? Because he didn't link it to the song.
My husband is my source.
Okay. He didn't link it to the song in the article that I read. He just said way before we were famous, like we didn't even leave Liverpool yet. Him and John were in the basement of another good friend and the lights were off and one guy just started enjoying himself. And so they joined in and it became a group effort when they started shouting out names of people they found really attractive back then. So it's just several guys tugging themselves in the dark. Sorry for the phrase.
Annette Funicello.
Exactly. But my favorite part is John Lennon ruined it by yelling, oh, crap. Who did he yell?
Yes, I know. There was like some sort of punchline.
It was a politician. Like he yelled
Margaret Thatcher.
It was a man. And Paul says he'll never forget like him going in and all of the guys there were like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Damn
so
it, John.
It was with GQ magazine, the interview that Paul McCartney gave. And he talked about the orgies and then the circle jerking and there is one.
P.S. I think Margaret Thatcher is a beautiful woman.
She's done a lot.
She's the one who started the Red Cross or was that Molly Pitcher?
She's the one who sewed the blanket.
Nope. None of those things are true.
She's the one who invented deep dish pizza. She came up with the artwork for Mr. Peanut.
Yes, that's who Margaret Thatcher
Got
is.
It. Oh!
The Mr. Peanut she was Prime Minister of the UK.
Okay, so here's what. John, what's his last name?
Lennon?
Yeah, John Lennon.
That's the
that
one.
That guy. He yelled out during their circle jerks, Winston Churchill!
That's there. It! He yelled out Churchill. That's a fascinating story. It's creepy.
Yeah, no, so I've never heard that.
But it's an interesting story. And I like how Paul just now is like, oh, there's nothing to lose now, mate. I'll tell you the story.
Exactly. Well, because, you know, everything they've done has just become canon and, like, sacred. And people forget that they were just these young dudes.
Yeah. And legend has it that they only became like that clean cut look that's so famous here with like the matching suits mm-hmm. and the straight hair. They really didn't want to do it because they were these badass guys from Liverpool and they used terminology that would not be appropriate today. But they're basically like, if you're going to make us dress like pansies, it better make money. Like that's the legend. But it works. So I have so many questions.
Come together. Bing, meow, meow, meow. Right now.
Winston Churchill.
Over me.
What celeb are we going to yell out when we ultimately become as famous as the Beatles? And then
I don't think we're going to have that day.
Circle rub? I mean, you can't. Pineapples.
Pineapples. Pineapples.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Pineapples.
My mom listens to
pineapples.
This podcast.
Pineapples.
Erase, erase, erase.
Kathleen. For the record, Kathleen has the most things you'll never hear because they just get cut out of the podcast.
You can't cut this out.
We have to cut out. So Kathleen walks into the room like a 1950s pinup girl, and then the things that come out of her mouth, she's like, welcome to my home. I'm going to throw a dinner party. And then just this foul, these foul jokes.
Oh, do we have just, that borderline between like too raunchy or like not okay. And then it's just like there's a whole reading rainbow in between.
We'll call it baking muffins. Is that? It's a little bit better. We'll bake
it's
our muffins.
Better, but I don't love it.
Who's going to butter my muffin?
All right. Pineapples, pineapples, pineapples. Speaking of pineapples, I really want to thank Green Chef.
So we got Green Chef boxes in the mail. They came to our house, our doorsteps, right? You guys
yes.
got them too?
Yes.
And I'm not a stranger to prepared meals. But what I love about Green Chef is that they let me pick my meal plan. I picked keto and I had this really delicious roasted chicken with romesco sauce. But they have all these other options too.
So they have all different kinds of recipes with gourmet flavor that you typically only find in restaurants. So the favorite thing I've had so far is the griddled corn cakes and eggs, which I made with my boyfriend, who is usually such a black and white boring cooker. But not only did we make this together, he enjoyed it, which was a little disappointing to me because that means less I got to eat at the end, but I digress. So what's really awesome about Green Chef is they have a wide range of meal plans. I got the vegetarian one, but you can switch up your meal plan and change the box you're getting and when you want it. So if you stick to something and you feel like changing it up, you have the option to do that. Plus, Green Chef thinks dinner should be planned around your life, so they have different times. So when I first got the box, I was kind of working on a schedule. So even though I had three different meals to plan for, I just picked what took the quickest amount of time. So I ended up only needing to cook for 25 minutes.
I like it when people tell me what to do.
You need Green
food.
Chef.
Dude, I saved the recipe card so that I know what flavors go together.
I did too. Yeah. It was so good.
I'm like, oh, now I know that these things sound good together. Yeah, it was really helpful. Thank you very much,
Salt and pepper match, writing that down.
It's real good. So do what we've done. Learn about Green Chef and try it for yourself. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/clean. That's greenchef.us/clean. And that's going to get you $50 off your first box of Green Chef. All right. So let's go around the table and say what we learned this week.
Okay.
Samantha.
Okay.
What did you learn this week?
So mine's not exactly a buzzkill, but it's not an upper. So do you want to start with me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I am learning that it's okay to not...
Gosh.
The way I'm speaking matches perfectly with what I learned. So
do
bear with me.
We need to get you coffee right now.
Like the battery, the robot that is Sam is slowly losing oil.
Hey, kids, die. Don't do
It's
drugs.
Like you're speaking well. What's going on? All right. I've learned that I have not fully processed. I've not been able to fully process negative emotion lately for a lot of reasons.
Interesting.
And I don't know what those reasons are. It's just that I'm finally coming to terms with the fact that I'll be very stressed and glum. And then William, because he's the one I'm with most of the time, will say, what is it? And my go-to response, instead of trying to force myself to come up with an answer that I don't feel is appropriate. I'm like, a lot of thoughts that have to deal with strong emotions, and none of the thoughts are good enough to voice yet.
So negative feelings going into your prism, not coming out.
Yeah. Like, they're not digestible. I can't even list things because I feel like if I do, that's not it. Maybe that's part of it. That's not it. I just know it's a whole spectrum of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And a feeling of like maybe overwhelmed. And I usually, growing up, was a lot better at dealing with emotions. So I guess the personal defeat is not helping.
Yeah.
Time to start journaling.
Maybe I do that. I take time off for my personal wellness sometimes because it's hard to put it back out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not the healthier answer, Kathleen. You're right. But I just want to put out that it's okay to not fully fully understand what's happening. It's okay to live off emotion rather than reason for a period of time.
Totally.
Right? Like, I wasn't giving myself that pass for a while.
Yeah.
I'm like, you should know why you're upset. You should know why you're stressed. You should know why you can't sleep right now. You should know why you feel anxiety. You should know. And none of those monologues to myself help. They don't get any answers. B, and no, I don't need to. You know, it's important to listen to myself, but I don't need to try and like wring myself out like a damp towel to make sure I get everything to fall out. You know,
yeah, I think that's really astute. I think that there are some people who will never try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah,
and as my mom says, then that stuff comes out sideways.
Oh, okay.
You know, so like,
yeah,
like. Tacos.
Like, you freak out on someone. Like, you freak out on someone who doesn't deserve to be freaked out on because you never dealt with the fact that you're mad at your uncle or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, but I think that it can also take time, and maybe your brain is working in the background and knows that you're not in a place where you can deal with this stuff right now.
Yeah.
So it's just keeping it under the surface until you're in a place where you can.
Yeah.
I did that to someone in college. I was really mad at them for X, Y, and Z reasons. And then they show up to the cafeteria wearing my cardigan without asking
that
me.
That bastard!
And I had a meltdown in front of everybody about the cardigan and made that person take it off. And I stormed home.
Yeah, that came
my
on.
My cardigan.
It actually wasn't it was one of those half cardigans. What are they called?
Boleros.
A shrug.
Pashmina. So that's it. If you're dealing with something and you don't have it fully processed, that's okay. Don't ignore it and sweep it under the rug, but don't drive yourself nuts trying to come up with a tangible sentence as to why you're feeling this way. It might pass and work itself out on its own. It'll come to you.
That's good. I really like that.
Thank you. Who wants to go next?
Kathleen, do you want to go next?
Yeah. I'm one for doing my nails at home. I almost never go to the nail salon. I just never find the time.
And it's expensive.
It's very expensive. And
merciless.
I do my nails myself. I learned this online this weekend. I think a lot of people who do their nails at home, like myself, you would like take a nice long shower. You know, it's part of your beauty routine. Do your nails, let them dry like while you're watching TV. That's just what I would normally do. Your nail polish will stay on longer if your nails are not wet before you do your nails, because your nails expand when they absorb water. So if you take a shower and then get out and paint your nails right away, your nails are going to shrink and it's not going to be the same size of the paint that you just put over them.
Interesting.
So take a shower and then do your nails the next day.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like warped wood.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll start to shift under your paint.
That's exactly. And it makes sense because you know how your nails get a little bit more flimsy when they absorb water. So they're not quite as strong.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so do your nails when your hands are dry.
Huh, cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. That I love.
Yeah, what about you, Bethany?
You are allowed, I think I talked about this last week too, or during our bonus episode or something, but you are allowed to unplug your social media.
Yeah.
It's okay. And one thing that I have started doing, and it's made all the difference in the world, is I delete the app from my phone. Because it's so easy to say I'm staying off of Instagram, I'm staying off of Twitter, and then like mindlessly you pick your phone up and go back to it. Mm-hmm. And so I actually delete the app. Usually it's Twitter, and it's not on my phone. And so even if I'm mindlessly going through my phone, it's not even a thing. And it has to be an active choice to re-download it, re-sign in, redo everything. And it's been really, really helpful.
Very smart.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, helps our friend lot. Paris that we had on a couple months ago was talking about doing that. And like you're saying, just the act of deleting it will help make such a huge percentage in avoidance.
And it's never, you know, I never do like a 2 month thing. It's like a couple days, or even if it's just for the night, if it's really getting to me, I just delete it. And that act of saying like, you know, press the app until it wiggles and then hitting the X. Like, for some reason, like, that really mm-hmm. feels like something I am doing.
And also just not seeing those notifications mm-hmm. when they come in really can give you a little mini vacation.
Yeah. It's digi, really, really helpful.
A digi vacation.
Oh, digi vacation. Speaking of, when you do decide to, like, open your Twitter again, follow us.
Don't let that deter you from following.
On Twitter, I am Radio Bethany. And then on everything else, I'm Ms. Bethany Watson.
I am Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
And I am Sam _ Rosalie on Instagram and Twitter, because I had to make life difficult.
You do. Oh, no, it's okay. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Once you've done that, follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Immediately after. And then go to Instagram right after that at Acquired Taste Podcast.
And Facebook.com/ Acquired Taste Podcast. And yes. We're about to hit scary stories season.
Yes.
And I just want to let you guys know that in preparation, I did a post on our website, mm-hmm. Scary Stories TBT.
Love.
And I embedded all of our podcasts from the year 2016 and the year 2017 of our scary story episodes. So get ready. We're coming at you again for our third annual year.
Thanks for doing that, Kathleen.
Just in case you need to be fluffed to be scared.
If you need anything from us, shoot us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we also have a P.O. box if you would like to send us something, you know, only if you were going to do it anyway. This is where it would be. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Maxi Climber, Lola, Green Chef. You can learn all about them in our show notes for today. Anything else, ladies?
No. I'm really enjoying smelling this rose. I'm going to continue to do so.
All righty. We will talk to you next week.